الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعارك وتعارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This kitab reading is very, very important. And now the points that were given were very, very relevant, very important. Allah give us tawfiq to understand and to make amal, inshallah. And this was really, we might be wondering who are seniors and who are juniors. It's with regard to a sheikh and his murid, how their relationship and what the attitude of the sheikh, and taken from Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's work. And Maulana was a master in this work, where he did not only correct the murids, but the mashayikh also. That even the mashayikh, how they should be, how would their murids, etc., and all these points, may Allah give us all tawfiq, that we adopt them and bring them in our lives. No matter how bitter, how difficult it be, and the giver of tawfiq is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to live correctly as is required. One dua came to mind this morning, and the dua is that we should make, especially at iftari time, where the other duas also for our islah we must make, that we gain the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Actually, we should be making du'as for this, because that is what we have come for and what we want. So we have to ask Allah. Allah is the sole giver of it. We make our efforts, we are responsible, and we must make our efforts. But إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whom Allah wants to, He gives it to. And there is no other way. We can't bribe Allah Ta'ala. We know clearly. We can't force Allah Ta'ala. We can't buy it from Allah Ta'ala. There is only one way of crying and begging in front of Allah Ta'ala. And the more we do that, inshallah, the more we will benefit. So this dua is that Allah Ta'ala make us from the utaqa, those that Allah set free in the month of Ramadan. Allah sends multitudes, millions and millions free from the fire of Jahannam in the month of Ramadan. One of the great virtues and one of the great blessings of the month of Ramadan is that Allah just sets people free from the fire of Jahannam. And who are these people? Who are bound to go to Jahannam. Those, mashallah, who are nek, righteous, who are going to Jannat, they are going. But those who are, the decision has been made that they have to go to Jahannam, such people Allah sets free. So we are so desperately in need of that. So every day, especially at the time of iftari, make dua for our family members, our close associates, our asatiza, our students, our friends, our mashayikh, our murids. Whoever it is, we must make lot of dua that Allah sets us free. Allahumma ij'alna min utaqai shahri Ramadan. Oh Allah, make us of those people that you have set free in the month of Ramadan. And this brings us to another very important point also, that how we spend our time, Ramadan. It is how we have been brought up, how we saw Ramadan being spent. So we spend it in that way, and everyone feels normally that this is the right way, this is the right way. But is it the right way? Again, the same thing, that ghaflat, that unmindfulness. Like a very broad, extreme example, a person is born in a Hindu house, he feels Hinduism is right. But is he right? Did he think of it? A person is born in a Christian home, he feels Christianity is right. But is it right? Did he think of it? So this also we all should think. We are born in a Muslim home, alhamdulillah, and we know it is right. There is no doubt about it whatsoever. But my brand of Islam, my way of spending Ramadan, is that the correct way? or is it an Indian way, or is it a Malay way, or is it an Arab way, or is it some other way, or is it the right way? Of course, we all know the right way will be the Sunnat way of Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did we ever think of that? That how are we spending our Ramadan? For that, there is one narration. The ulama have written this in the tafsir of the ayat of Surah Ghashiya, أَفَلَا يَنْزُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. There's four ayats here that Hazrat Zamam ibn Tha'alaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a Bedouin living out in the desert far away. And he explains that when he used to travel on his camel, then the thought should come to him that how Allah has made the camel. And the camel is an ajeeb khilqat. How Allah has made the camel one of a very, very, very fascinating and very different from everything. For example, you don't want to go much into that detail, but Allah has given it two knees. It's one animal that has got two knees. And it works like a fold-up ladder, steps. Because when the people have to sit on it or load the goods, it's too high. So itself, it sits down. The person who controls the camel knows how to speak to it, make signs, and it will sit down. So the people, ladies, everyone can easily climb on and they can sit. Then it will get up again, that fold-up ladder will open up again. And then Allah has made it, the body of it is quite high. And the legs are quite thin comparatively. So when the desert storm blows, the wind, it just goes past. Otherwise it should get bogged down. And it shouldn't be able to move again. How Allah Ta'ala has made it. How it in the desert, it needs to carry reservoir of water. Allah made its reservoir. It carries water for and many other things. So anyway, Zamam ibn Tha'alaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, with the natural instinct Allah had put in every human being, this is what we have to use. That he should travel, he should think, how Allah has made this. That who has made it. Then how long are you going to look at your camel when you are traveling in the desert like this? So then you look around you, you see the mountains. That how Allah has made the mountains. Then you look, how long are you going to see at mountains? And the desert mountains, there isn't any greener and any greener and any greenery or anything. You look up, you look at the sky. Who made the sky? How did the sky come about? Then again, how long are you going to keep up looking? When you look down again, you see the land stretched out as far as you can see. The desert land is just stretched out. And if you are traveling alone, it gives you so much time to ponder. So when he came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that your messenger who you send for da'wat of Islam to us, he told us that you are the Nabi of Allah. Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what he said is 100% true. Allah made me his Rasul and his Nabi. Then he asked, who created the camel? Who created the skies, the mountains, the earth, everything? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah created it. Then he said, and you say you are Allah's Nabi, Allah's Rasul? He said, yes, I'm Allah's Nabi and Allah's Rasul. Then he said, your messenger gave us the basics of deen. And now I will follow this deen, what he gave us. La azidu wa la anqusu. I won't increase on this, I won't decrease on this. And people who live out away from the city life, their habits are also different. So he got up and he started walking and he said this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if he sticks to what he says, he will be going to Jannah. And he said that your messenger came and he taught us this basics of deen. Anyway, so he used that faculty. So we also, Allah has given us that faculty. That what am I doing? Is it right or not? Ramadan, as we spend it, for example, how we spend Ramadan is in a certain way. If we go to Durban, for example, you'll see them spending it a slightly different way. For example, their iftari is not made without haneem. Till then, there is no iftari. If you go to Cape Town, you'll find it very more different. If you go to any other, for example, one Jamaat went to Madagascar. And in a remote area, and they were making mashura. After all the mashura, they also decide one thing, who will make khidmat. So the local brothers were very surprised that what is this khidmat about? That you have to cook food and that. Then afterwards, when they saw that they are very, they asked them, they said, we don't think about food. Food is not a question. It doesn't come in our agenda at all. He says if somebody in the family went out for his work, he found some berries on the trees, he brought home, we eat it. If there isn't anything, we don't eat. Now that is their lifestyle. So now, which is the right lifestyle? And we, Allah make us maaf, our whole Ramzan is centered around food. Our Eid is centered around food. One time, a Jamaat of Morocco came to Raivind. And after spending, they were responsible brothers, very pious, righteous, very much in the work. So Haji Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahab, Damat Barakatum, asked them, according to your definition in Morocco, what is piety? Who will you call somebody who is pious? So he was a bit shy and reserved, so Abdul Wahab insisted on him. Then he told one sentence. He says, you people eat twice a day. So that person, we don't regard him as pious. A person who eats twice a day, he's a dunyadar. He's more worried about his food. He says, we only have one meal a day. So we have to see, today we don't have to follow all these, but get an idea that what am I doing, is it right? My Ramzan, how I'm spending. My preparation for Ramadan is around food. My Ramzan, the housewives from the morning, they start preparing already for iftari. The husband will phone also and say that today I'm listening, I'm desiring to eat this food here. So prepare. And when you sit to eat, how much can you eat? And then, so we have many places we make open our roza, the iftari. Then we have our supper. Then after Isha, another snack again. Then again at Sehri time. So we just centered around food all the time. For Eid also, we think of food. And whereas Ramadan is not a month of feasting, it's a month of fasting. But we have made it a month of feasting. We just think about food all the time. So we have to think that am I spending my Ramadan correctly or not? Is it an Indian Ramadan? Is it a Sunnah Ramadan? Is it an Asian Ramadan? Is it a Malaysian Ramadan? What kind? Maulana Umair is here. MashaAllah, he explained to me some time ago that now, MashaAllah, he has made lot effort. Things have changed tremendously. But about his masjid, you were speaking. He said that Maghrib, there was hardly a musalli. Whereas normally, Maghrib, you get the most musallis in Ramadan also. But he said hardly. What there, it's common, perhaps, I don't know now. Maulana, I'll ask him. But he says restaurants are booked out 2-3 months before. Dawat of iftari at a restaurant, this restaurant, that restaurant, all book out at the restaurant. And when you're at a restaurant, if you make your namaz, you'll just rush through your namaz. You won't do it properly. Otherwise, perhaps you won't even make your maghrib. Like that. And this is becoming now common amongst other people, our people also. Iftari, dawat, is this now? Is that the way to spend Ramzan? To make iftari, to give iftari the great merit. But iftari dawahs and sehri dawahs also. And all these things, are we moving in the right direction? Are we moving in the wrong direction? Are we going more towards food? Or are we going more towards fasting? More towards feasting or more towards fasting? So everywhere there are different ways. If you go to Saudi Arabia, their Ramzan is a different. And everyone, normally, we think that what we are doing is the right. What other people, we can't get used to how they are living. How they doing things, we don't understand. It's a different cup of tea. It's not right. But who is right? So for that, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us our akabir, our aslaf, and goes to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Allah has given us the ulama who studied this, and they explained to us that we must try to come onto the right tartib. We mustn't have an Indian Ramadan, not a Malaysian Ramadan, not a Egypt Ramadan. Everywhere, whatever it is, we must try and come on Sunnat. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So this is very, very important, that everything we think, that am I doing it the right way? Is this going to bring me closeness to Allah Ta'ala? Or perhaps I'm thinking I'm getting close to Allah, I may be going further away from Allah Ta'ala. Especially bid'at are those things. If a person who gets in, Allah save us all from every bid'at. And we are involved in bid'at, which we don't realize also. We think we are out. Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, who was here, explained that how many we who call ourselves as Deobandis, those people who are far from bid'at, he says how many bid'at are in us also. And plenty of bid'at are in us also. And bid'at is such a thing, a person just loves it. And he's convinced it is right. A person who is doing milad, for example, we will speak of those people. A person who is doing urs, etc., the amount of enjoyment, and shaitan gives this enjoyment. And you go like in a high. In fact, one little anecdote, Qawwali was carrying on, and one person was getting hal. What is hal? That is, he is out of hal. He's not in his condition, he's out of his condition. And he's now jumping and screaming like he's enjoying, and he's dancing like now, enjoying whatever the naat is being read or praises of Nabi alayhi salam. And everyone will say that, mashallah, what a lover of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he makes the whole environment more hot also. And everyone is more excited. So people got worried how he was jumping. So they were how to cool him down. Nobody knew. One person went and just whispered something in his ear. And he got cooled down and he went away from there. So they asked, what you did? He said, what you wanted me to do to cool him down, I did that. Now you don't have to worry. They say, no, tell us in future in case there is again another situation, then we have to know how to sort it out. He said, I just told him that your trouser is torn at a very wrong place, at a very delicate place. The minute I told him that, his hal became again on hal. And he was again right. And he went away. So anyway, so we have to see everything. So bid'at are such a thing that a person just enjoys it. And shaitan zuyyana linnas, hubbu shahawat, etc. And shaitan makes things beautiful for a person. And many times we're doing the right thing. Many of our friends ask also a lot that we're not enjoying our ibadat. And if you get into bid'at, you'll see you enjoy it. So enjoyment is not the object. Many of us, we feel enjoyment is, no, itaat of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is the object. Whether you get enjoyment or if you get, Alhamdulillah, in the right way. But if you do it to get enjoyment in the wrong thing, or every guna, whatever you can think, music is enjoyable. Adultery is enjoyable. Looking at other women is enjoyable. Gunas are enjoyable. So it doesn't mean that you have to get that enjoyment. Ibadat, we have to see and find out properly and make lot of dua. Allah guide us towards righteousness. That we are on the right path. There were 72, 73 firqas in this ummah. Am I in the right firqa? Of all the religions, we as Muslims, alhamdulillah, Allah's lot of fadal. Allah, and we don't know, a person can never be enough thankful to Allah that He gave us our existence. He made us Muslims. He made us in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He made us from Ahli Sunnah wal Jamaat. He gave us the right way of thinking, which we in our circles call the ulama-i Dioban. It's not only ulama-i Dioban, the Ahli Sunnah wal Jamaat, ulama who are on the right here, on the right, are throughout the world. Every country, there are these people, whichever you are, where you can think. But in our context, we say the ulama of Dioban. But so on that aqidah, which the ulama of Dioban are, everywhere in the world there are those people. Whether it is, many people think Saudiya, there is only Salafis or whatever else, but there are those ulama who are Ahle Haq, who are 100% on the truth and they stand for the proper Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And you get the other type of people also in every country. Bid'at you get in every country also. Salafis you will get in every country. Ahle Hadith you will get. Modernists you will get in every country. So throughout the world there are the people. So we must see that everything, my deen also, am I following the right deen? And with conviction we must follow the deen which Allah Ta'ala has given us. And we all our practices, for example our namazes also, is my namaz the correct namaz? How I'm making it? Or is it, am I not making it correctly? Somebody else has a certain picture of namaz. So much so, again, an extreme example. Some people will think just to sit for a little while and meditate and make muraqabah, that is ibadat. But we know that isn't. You have to make your namaz as namaz, as namaz, as namaz. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, as-sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, like that we must make namaz. But then in that also, we must make sure that we are, if not perfect, at least as close as possible to Sunnah. So all these things we must try and see. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So after speaking a little bit about our real object of this month, and that also we should make niyat, dua, that Allah Ta'ala makes our islah, that is our biggest need, that our spiritual rectification, our spiritual correction takes place. And we should never ever be content that I am alright. No, every person, no matter what level he is, among the teachings of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali also, the Mashayikh also must never think that we are correcting the murids. They must be worried, everyone must be worried of himself, that I must be corrected, my life must come right. And we should speak also about those things that we want must come right in our lives. And then with regard to sincerity, that we should be sincere also. And it should be done only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And that is also very important. Then we come, then now where are we going to get and when are we going to get our islah, tah, and correction of our intention. For that Allah has given us really this month of Ramadan, there couldn't be a better occasion. What a great month this month is. The month is so great. Then rozas are so great. Then Quran Sharif Allah has revealed. And Quran, as Maulana explained Juma time, Maulana Ayub Sahab, that what a connection Quran Sharif has got with Ramadan. The whole Quran Sharif was revealed from Lohe Mahfuz in the month of Ramadan. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. By large and wide, ulama accept that Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made door with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He heard Jibreel alayhi salam reciting Quran. He recited to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So what great connection. So all these things I'll put together is the ideal occasion for our islah and our reformation. Roza, fasting. As far as ikhlas is concerned, ulama have written that we are all sitting here. Inshallah, all of us got roza. But it is possible that a person hasn't got roza. Or out of Ramzan, a person keeps roza. You can't see the roza in him. For example, many people, mashallah, keep Monday, Thursday, Ayyam-e-Bir, the middle days. Some people keep the whole month also roza. But you can't see the roza. It shows to ikhlas. So that ikhlas which is required this month of Ramadan, the barakat of the month, of being in this month, it were like, for example, you take a glass of water, you put it in the fridge. Without the glass of water doing anything, it becomes cold. Just because it's in the company of the fridge, it becomes cold. So this month of Ramadan, we are in the month. So the effect of it is, it must wear off on us that ikhlas comes into us. So that is one big component for our islah, ikhlas. And the month of Ramadan and roza is really ikhlas. And therefore Allah gets so happy with roza that a person who kept roza, just ikhlas, only for Allah's sake. Nobody else knows that you have got roza, that Allah says, I myself am the reward. Or if you got Allah, you got everything. Everything is yours once you got Allah. Or Allah will himself give the reward. Or thirdly, that Allah, there is no limit to the reward of roza. Allah will just give and give and give. So this ikhlas. So we also be conscious. Don't let that veil be on us. So take also from Allah Ta'ala. When we're making our dhikr, one of the many muraqabas, there is a kitab, hopefully it is available, Imran prepared it, about dhikr, that the muraqabah we must make. That is what we must think when we're making dhikr. The ash'ar which are recited, those of us who know the ash'ar, pay attention to it. It tells us the purpose of the dhikr. Those of us who don't know, there is that kitab also with the translation, transliteration of the ash'ar, of the poems which are recited. Read it and study it and try and learn. Again, see, Maulana Umair, mashallah, he's from Malaysia, but he has learned all these ash'ar in Urdu, mashallah. So it will tell us. So anyway, one of the muraqabahs which our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, has taught us that لا إله إلا الله ليس لها حجاب دون الله. That la ilaha illallah, there is nothing that can block it from reaching Allah Ta'ala. No veil, nothing can block it. No, you can build as thick walls as you want to, walls of steel and iron, but la ilaha illallah, directly to Allah Ta'ala it goes. And before it leaves your lips, it has reached there already. With such speed it reaches there, that it is there already. And the arsh of Allah Ta'ala is the place of majariya qada, where all decisions are made. Anything that happens in the world, which nation is going to come up, which nation is going to go down, the dollar price going up, down, who's going to get good health, who's going to have bad health, all is made there. And that is the big storeroom, everything. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. We look for our rosy here on the earth, but it is up there. From there Allah puts it onto the into the ground. So with our la ilaha, we went there, and the our la ilaha illallah, that is the key. Allahumma iftah aqfal qulubina bidhikrik. Oh Allah, open the locks, aqfal, of our hearts by your dhikr. So this kalima la ilaha illallah is the key to open the lock. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains, where does a person put locks? Where they are valuables, where there is nothing, you don't put locks there, but where there are valuables, you lock that place. And on the heart, there isn't a lock, but there are locks. And so that means there are great valuables in the heart. Kullu mawlud yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born on that fitrat of la ilaha illallah. It is. Now it's up to the parents how they make the child. If they open those locks with zikr, with Islam, the child becomes a Muslim. If they don't open it, they're putting Hinduism in the child, Christianity, Judaism, whatever else, the child will go in that direction. But if the child gets the correct environment, those locks are open, it comes out. And then on the tarbiyat of a child, then take it further and further and make the child a good Muslim child. So the key of this is la ilaha illallah. So it's la ilaha illallah, that I've opened the locks of my heart. And now my connection is made with the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Laysa laha hijab dun Allah. It's gone directly to Allah Ta'ala. And then meditate. There is not the mazmoon, not the subject of the hadith. But then ponder, from the arsh of Allah now, noor is coming and into my heart, direct connection. And whatever I require, it is there. And I'm busy taking it now. So take from Allah Ta'ala, Allah's ma'rifat, Allah's muhabbat, islah of ourselves, but every la ilaha that we are taking from Allah, illallah, it's coming. Now I've reached the arsh of Allah, that big storeroom is open, from there I'm taking, and it's coming into my storeroom, into my heart. I'm taking my islah from there. So this is, in that way our islah will get done. And in the month of Ramadan, everything's value is so great. Everything is increased so much. Just to understand the value of the month of Ramadan, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taught that a nafil becomes the value of a farz. Now take one nafil namaz. For example, any nafil, but we take a nafil namaz. You make a two rakats of nafil namaz. Now Quran Sharif that a person recites, for every letter without wuzu, you get one sawab. With wuzu, 10 thawabs. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif, if you are standing and reading in the namaz, for every letter, 100 thawabs. You sit and read, 50 thawabs. You read like that Quran Sharif, 25 thawabs. And 10 thawabs for each letter. Not one, 10. So that means, nafil namaz, you are, any nafil, you can sit and read. Faraz, if you are healthy, you are not allowed to sit. Qiyam is faraz, you have to stand. But nafal, even if you are healthy, if you want to, you said, but your thawabs will be decreased. So if you read Surah Fatiha, ulama have written there are 150 letters, alphabets in Surah Fatiha. For each one, while you are standing, 100 thawabs. And in the month of Ramadan, now all this is multiplied, it becomes the value of a farz. And your whole lives, ulama have written, whole lives, nafal, can never equal one farz. Your whole life's tahajjud, ishraq, awabin, salatul hajah can never equal one farz. Farz is farz. And the value of farz is very great by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in this month of Ramadan, that nafil becomes a farz. And a farz, what is its value which we cannot put any price tag on it, as far as sawab, no sawab tag we can put on it. It becomes 70 farz. So what a great month. So this is the ideal month for our islah also. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to appeal as to the ulama, to everyone else also, that this month don't let it go in unmindfulness. Pay attention to our islah. And our whole year won't be made, our whole life will be made. So if we spend our time correctly, this islah which we have come for, what the correct intention, and the month of Ramadan is the ideal time. Roza, fasting, is such a thing again, that there is no food in the body. Where physically, doctors have explained, hakims have explained, the great benefit of giving rest to the body. Every part of the body, the kidney, the liver, the spleen, all this gets its rest. It's the ideal and perfect thing that was prescribed for a person. And the period also is ideal, 30 days. If too long also, a person will become weak. So this is the ideal that Allah has made. And Allah is the creator of this human body. Allah knows perfectly what it requires. That is, as far as the physical side is concerned. Then as far as the spiritual side also is concerned, this month of Ramadan is the ideal month for which Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. To acquire this taqwa, this is the ideal month. And once a person has got taqwa, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنْ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. The friends of Allah is nobody else but the muttaqi. That person who has got taqwa, and that is to fulfill every command of Allah as Allah wants it, on the time, on the place. And to stay away from all those things which Allah has made haram. And this is the ideal month for it. When we prove to ourselves, generally everyone in the world will say we can't live without food. Yeah, we are living 12 hours a day in Northern Hemisphere, 18 hours, 21 hours. Their rozas go, and little children also are living, and the whole month passes, and they live, and they nothing, they don't become ill, they become more better. They become more stronger after that. So Allah has given us this rozas that are perfectly for our spiritual upliftment. There is no better time than the month of Ramadan also. Otherwise, the whole year, a person must be conscious of his spiritual upliftment, and he can go and spend time in the jamaat, go spend time by mashayikh, ulama-i haq, and make his islah. But there is no better time than the month of Ramadan, where this is on the one side. The food, the body doesn't get its food. So, and shaitan goes in the body. How much more food, so much more shaitan also goes. And yeah, we are said no food is allowed. And another great desire of man is his sexual lust. So this also from the time of Sehri till the time of Iftari, his wife is halal for him. She's there with him. They only the husband and wife in the house, nobody else, but they don't go anywhere near that. Allah has made it. So Allah, a smoker, for example, how many smokers? Ramzan, they don't smoke during the day. A different story. At iftari time, they want to smoke, they want their cigarette, but the whole day, whether it's 18 hours, so they have proved to themselves, we can stay without it. A person who is a drunkard, who drinks alcohol, but Ramzan he stays without it. So when we have proved it, we have proved to ourselves that the halal things, our halal food, halal wife, we can stay away from. Then the rest of the year, from what Allah has made haram, why can't we stay away from it? So if Ramzan is spent properly, we don't commit gunas in the month of Ramadan. We spend the month properly, Allah will put that quality, that jawhar, that capability within a person, that whole life he can stay away from haram easily. When he proved he could stay away from halal so easily, then why can't he stay away from haram so easily? It will become very easy. But it is that this month we must spend it correctly. Spend the month correctly. And for that reason, if we come like in an environment like this, and those who are staying here, whether we are making i'tikaf or not, we just staying here. Allah has protected us. We don't really see women here. perhaps from the front window. Sometimes your eyes might fall on some woman, but otherwise here you won't see a woman. The other thing is up to us now with our cell phone. If we really want our Islah, the cell phone must be really put away. Only if there is absolute necessity. And just like a youngster asked his father that how could you people stay without the mobile, without the cell phone? That today it has become part of the body. Without the, you're like paralyzed if you haven't got your phone. A person's phone gets stolen or lost, and now his contact numbers, etc., whether it's for his business, for his social, his family, people, he feels, I'm lost without those numbers. So he asked his father, how could you people stay without the phone? The father told him, we can't imagine how you stay without namaz. That we said namaz was in our life. Tilawat of Quran, how can you live without tilawat of Quran in your life? How can you live without namaz in your life? So these are the things that have to come into us. The cell phone, we can definitely stay without. And there are many people who even in these days, they don't have a cell phone and their life is carrying on. Everything is carrying on. Just as somebody had explained very beautifully, we feel until I don't have a 5-bedroom house, 7-bedroom house, and this a swimming pool and all these other things, how can I live? The person who's living in a tent shanty is also passing his life. And the person living in this type of a life is also passing his life. Yesterday we were going out and a dog was sleeping, it was cold, sleeping on the grass. But it's also spending its time, it's also living its life. So everyone is passing in these cold days. People are living in what conditions? They're also spending their lives. One friend of ours explained that he grew up in a place where there only one room had lights in the whole house. Only one room had lights. And then they lived under the bawla, like a tin where fire is left. And his granny was over 100 years, and she brought up so many children, orphan children, and in that condition, so they also left, and they made the jannah in those conditions. On the other hand, we might be living a different lifestyle, and whether we are making our jannah or whether we are making some other place living like this. So that is not important. The important thing is to see the deen of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. And when a person's heart inclines in that way, Allah also comes. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Allah Ta'ala guides that person, a person who wants that, and he begs Allah. In that also, many of our friends ask also, this is also a common question, that our old gunas, we think of them again. A person who was lot in music, just a little bit he listens to a song or something that music and his heart just goes there. A person who was lot in sports and just little bit again he goes to sports. He just comes. A person was with woman and then again that thought comes again. So all this time this is also a test from Allah Ta'ala. And when that test comes and you feel guilty that why am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing all this. These thoughts, why are they coming? Your stages are rising by Allah. That person gets worried that all this evil again, again now, again now, that again now, music again, that filthy, dirty lifestyle. Yes, if a person thinks of it and he enjoys it again, then that is harmful and he will be destroyed. And a thought coming on its own, we are not responsible for that thought. A thought, yes, if you bring the thought, and now you start building on it, and you're thinking more, that is harmful. But the thought just came and you feel bad about it, you feel dirty about it. That is a person, in fact, that is a test from Allah, and you are passing the test, you are feeling bad, and you are making dua, and that is why you're asking, that why am I feeling like this? Why are this evil, bad thoughts coming back to me again? But all that, Allah Ta'ala is taking you higher and higher all the time. Just like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, that for necessity, not just for passing time, for necessity, you have to go to the bank, you have to go to town, you have to walk on the streets, you are traveling by bus or whatever, or even by car, and other people in the cars, etc., women are there, you're walking on the streets, women are there, how they are dressed, or you go to a bank, you go to an airport, there how the women are dressed, etc. So Hazrat said, those are the places where the certificates of Jannah are being distributed. All you do, that now the tests are there, heavy tests. very difficult, those tests. But you just keep your gazes under control. You keep your thoughts under control. And then you are getting the certificate of Jannah. Nazrusahmum min sihami iblis masmum. Our eyes are of the arrows of shaitan, poisonous arrows. And a person who doesn't look makhafati, in the fear of Allah Ta'ala, Allah gives that person the halawati iman, the sweetness of iman. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says that the sweetness of iman, when it enters the heart, it doesn't go out again. It's there all the time. So for necessity, when a person has to go to his shop, has to do business, wherever he goes, not just for unnecessarily. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali prescribes so much precaution. He says if you're buying a house also, make sure it's not in front of a high school especially. It's not in front of a railway station. It's not near a bus stop where the people are just walking. Now you're sitting in your lounge and you see all the people, women walking. Mainly it's women, high school girls. And how they dress, even at school dressing also. And you get influenced with all this here. So you must be careful of all that. And stay away from such things, all such things. So, but where you have to go of necessity to such a place, and you save yourself, you are getting the certificate of Jannah. The same thing when evil thoughts come to a person. Many people, when we lie down to sleep, then automatically a person starts fantasizing now. This evil thought, with this woman, with that, all these filthy things that attacks from shaitan. And you stay away from that. Start reading Ayatul Kursi. And start reading your La Hawla, read your surahs, etc. And you'll see you can overcome it very easily. And with sincerity, as we explained yesterday, if there is sincerity, shaitan who comes to wrestle you, you can overpower him. But if you haven't got sincerity, shaitan will overpower you. So this month is also of sincerity. This month is the ideal month when the shayateen are also, the evil, rebellious shayateen are chained also. And so it makes it even more easy. We have everywhere there is an environment of Ramadan. Yeah, moreover, or wherever else in the world where people in Haramain Sharifain or Jamaats that are going out, or people gathered in this way to spend their time to make their Islah, this is even more better. Otherwise, every house, masjid also, there is definitely signs of Islam, of Ramadan, everywhere in the world. So Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very easy. There is the month when normally people take out their zakat. So it's not necessarily zakat. The Muslims ask the ulama, that from when my zakat becomes compulsory on me. It's not necessary in Ramadan. It could be any other month of the year from the time we had our nisab and it stayed with us. It could have been in Rajab, it could have been in Muharram, it could have been at any other time. But normally people take out. And in any case, we are encouraged to spend in the path of Allah. So this spending in the path of Allah, that is also, when a person spends in the path of Allah, Allah makes the tazkiyah of that person. One big tazkiyah, the love of money goes out of a person. And another thing is, as we heard now in the kitab, that charity never diminishes wealth. It increases wealth. Okay? So this is the month when we spend and Allah increases for us also. So all of us, we should try to spend something in this month. And more, throughout the year, we should try and give some charity all the time. And Hazrat Ahmad Sahib, Damat Barakat to him, and Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali in Fadail Sadaqat, and from there Hazrat Ahmad Sahib stresses a lot that we should on a daily basis give some charity. It will help us tremendously. And Ramzan, we must increase it. And also we must not think, especially the ulama, that we are just to be the recipients. That we just have to get. One Maulana gave a bayan that is so much sawab of giving charity and feeding the people. After the whole bayan, 1 hour, what a bayan he gave, He came home, he found a big pot on the stove. He asked his wife, what is this? She said, you made bayan, you must cook. He said, no, this is not for us to give, for the people to give us, that the people must give charity and we must get it. No, all of us. Manana Abrarul Haksab Rahmatullah Ali says, in which the madrasa you are teaching, give some chanda in that madrasa also. As a ustad also, whether it's even one ren, and shaitan will come, he'll say, today the receipt is more expensive than a ren. So don't give a ren. When you want to give a big amount, shaitan will tell you, you want to make name. You want to show you can give so much. You can sacrifice so much. If you give little, shaitan say, what is the need of this? Nobody needs this one ren of yours, 50 cents. Whereas if it comes in the hadith, save yourselves from Jahannam, even with a piece of khajur. Half a khajur, save yourself. And charity saves a person from a bad death. Charity is a great thing. So that is also in this month. In this month, dua, Allah Ta'ala Himself announces, or through the malaika, that what you want from me. Ask me, I will give it to you. You want ruzi, I will give it to you. You want money, I will give it to you. Whatever. And our greatest need is that we get Allah. That Allah be pleased with us. Our islah be made. So, and really, we got problems. I got bad habits in me. Whatever it is, this is the time now. Once the moon of Eid is sighted, finish that. Alhamdulillah, tahajjud. But this is the whole night. During the day, the rozedars, duas are accepted. Allah commands the malaika who are carrying the arsh of Allah Ta'ala that. And they make the zikr of Allah, tasbih, tahmeed, all the time. And that also so beautifully in what chorus tones. One group say this zikr, another group say that zikr. Allah says in the month of Ramadan, leave all that, say ameen on the dua of the rozedar. So the whole day on your duas, those malaika, all the fish in the water, the animals in the jungle are saying ameen on the duas of those people who are keeping roza. Allah give us that yaqeen also, which we have to work, that definitely they are making, they are saying ameen. Like Maulana Allama Yusuf Mannuri rahmatullah alayh, when he should make namaz, he should come before time set. And he should in his heart say ameen, ameen. Somebody says, Hazrat, you come so early. He says it comes in the hadith. A musalli who comes and after namaz you sit for a while, we should sit a little while. Read our ayatul kursi, read our little bit, and at that time, malaika, Allahumma aghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. They are making dua for you. Our duas, we know what big sinners we are, but there are many occasions that we get the duas of the malaika. Go to visit the sick. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that when you go, Hazrat Shaykh also Rahmatullah Ali, you go to the sick, if possible, look at the comfort of the sick person. But if you can, try and go in the early part of the morning. The whole day, 70,000 malaika are making dua for you. You go in the early part of the night, the whole night. We make Quran khatam, Allah give us tawfiq. In summer, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, try and complete in the early part of the morning. So the days in summer are long, the whole day malaika making dua for you. In winter, try and make in the early part of the night. So that whole night, these people looked at all these things here, whatever. Today we worried of 2 cents we save here, we spend 20 rand on petrol to go there. To go and save 2 rand on that one thing which is being sold as a special at a shop, etc. But the real thing is for our deen. And Allah give us that the real value is of deen, not of this dunya. It is of deen. And that this is the month to get that reality also into us. And we will make that, in which direction a person makes effort, Allah will put it that this is valuable. Otherwise, the value of dunya is too much in our hearts. Dunya's things, everything of dunya, we're not worried of qabr. And what is qabr? We're not worried of Qiyamah, Allah. What is the day of Qiyamah? And the Quran Sharif, from the beginning to the end, how Allah has explained, what is Jannah? What enjoyments of Jannah? What has this dunya got to offer? As far as quantity, as far as quality, as far as anything, dunya has got, dunya is not for enjoyment. It's not our destination. Our destination is the Akhirah. And this is the month Allah has given us. So this is the ideal month that we have to work on it to make our Islah. May Allah give us all tawfiq. And now is the time for dua again. Let us make all these duas. that Allah make us of those people who are set free in the month of Ramadan. Our family, our children, we are worried. Today we worried of the other education of our children. We're not worried of their qabr. We're not worried of the day of Qiyamah, about their Jannat, getting saved from Jahannam. So this is the time, dua for all this. Dua for our islah. Dua for to get Allah Ta'ala. That Allah becomes mine. That Allah is pleased with me. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we spend this time and we make it valuable as we can. We spend this month of Ramadan. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.